Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Well, I am sure you have had an incredible week. Things are so exciting as we come into this last part of the year. And if you're listening to this in the middle of the year, good. Good. Our podcasts make their way around the world, but welcome back to Mission Accepted. If this is your first time with us, it won't be your last. This is going to be the best fun you have had all week. We love our guests when they come on. And if you haven't been with us, you're going to hear all sorts of incredible things. And if you are driving, just keep doing your thing. If you're listening while you're doing it, just keep doing your thing. But I can't tell you how many guests call me and say that when they sit down to actually listen to the show, they're pen to paper. They're literally pen to paper. So the gem drops are going to happen. And we've already decided that you as listeners and viewers are going to be geeking out after you listen to today's episode. And let me introduce you who's going to be sharing the stage with me today. Super excited. Michelle B. Griffin. And there's a reason why I said Michelle B. Griffin. And we're going to talk about that a little later. But we're going to talk about all sorts of things today. We're going to talk about geeking out. We're going to be talking about owning your lane. We're going to talk about planning your visibility. We're going to talk about things about AI that you've never heard before. But mostly we're going to talk about how this visibility piece, this authentic piece that people are talking about, how can you have that work for you in a way you want it to work for you? And there's so many things to learn about branding and visibility and being there. We know that. That's why the experts that come on to this show make it simple, easy. And I was super excited when I met Michelle. And she was like, oh, yeah, I've got this little plan for visibility. It's super easy. It's like 4 steps, 5 steps. I'm like, that's the kind of digestible piece that you need to nail something down and then expand it from there. But I'm literally going to stop talking because we're going to be talking about branding and all sorts of things with Michelle. And first of all, Michelle, welcome to the show.
It is awesome to be here, Deborah. Let's geek out. Let's geek out.
I love geeking out. I love that. Okay, first of all, I mentioned something called Own Your Lane. And for those that are watching, they can see these incredible books in your background there that are gleaming out with a nice yellow cover that say Own Your Lane. So maybe give us a little bit of your background, your backstory, and talk to us about ownership.
Yeah, let's own the moment. So absolutely. So I started my career in PR and then morphed into B2B events. And the last 5 years, I've had my own consultancy with personal branding and PR, LinkedIn visibility. And recently, I guess it was about a year ago, I launched Own Your Lane. It's coming up on 2 years. Own Your Lane is my framework, my roadmap that I have created for experts, entrepreneurs, really anyone who's ready to jump out there, is overwhelmed with all the advice and everything. I make it super easy. You know, so many people say, promote yourself, start networking, get online, and people are overwhelmed and just fall flat. So my problem, my solution rather, is Own Your Lane. It's a 4-step process that you have this roadmap, if you will, to go to your goals, to get to your goals. I am absolutely positive you're going to be absolutely clear, confident, and competitively advantaged because you absolutely know who you are, what you stand for, who you're here to help, and how you're different. And that's the main thing with Own Your Lane. How do you stand out in a world with increasingly AI all around us?
Well, it's interesting you talk about AI because we had some pre-show conversation around that. When you talk about owning your own lane, and I'm sure that there's different steps for people to walk through what that looks like, but What would you say is one of the most important things as people are starting to get to know themselves? I mean, our audience predominantly are self-funding people that are full of mission. And it can, you know, you're creative. You know what it's like when you're creative, right? I mean, I sit down on the couch sometimes. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to turn on TV so I can stop thinking about ways to expand. And like you said, it can get really, you don't necessarily know how to do what it is that you want to do. But, and you know, there's this whole thing around being authentic and owning yourself, lots of mixed messages and very difficult. So one of the things around ownership that, you know, I'd love to ask you that you could share with the audience today is, what is one of the biggest steps in someone owning themselves? Like, is it writing? Is it journaling? Is it speaking in front of a mirror? Is it, you know, what's your goal? Is like, what is it that someone can do that at least first step when someone's like, go share yourself?
Yeah.
You're like, what do I share?
Yeah. The advice, you be you, you do you. And that's all great advice.
You do you. Oh yeah. I love that one. You do you.
Yeah. Which is great. I say it in context, but when you're ready to jump out, you know, if your listeners have businesses or scaling businesses, want to really, you know, upgrade their visibility, be seen, that takes stepping out and being seen. And the problem is we're so close to our brilliance, right? Or we overthink it, or we have a plethora of ideas. You and I are alike on that. How do we stay in, you've heard the expression, stay in your lane. That's fine, but I want to own it. I want to know what makes you absolutely irresistible and what makes you different. And in the case of business, because we're here about businesses, not hobbies, it's really about the problem you solve in a human-centered way. I'll just give you the four steps. If you know these, you're going to be so good. So L is launch your vision. Where do you want to go? I work with so many people, so many clients. They want to get to that next level for the most part, right? They're great at what they do, but they're not very clear. They've come unclear over time. So launch your vision is your goals, and marry that with your purpose. Why do we do what we do? What makes us get up and do this in the days we don't want to do it? You know, I heard your episode with Wendy Lyon a couple weeks ago when you talked about, I didn't want to go to the gym today. How do you step out in your business and constantly get in there to stay consistent? And it's about your professional purpose is what I teach you to help you find. Let's go to A, assert your difference. There's a million people maybe who do what you do. And like if you're an accountant or whatever, what makes you different? So we marry your story, your way of seeing it, wrapped around the problem you solve. I would say if there's one takeaway from this audience, for this audience, is the problem you solve. If you absolutely know the problem you solve in layman's terms, you're going to be so much farther ahead than 90% of the people out there. So that's A. N is navigate your brand. How do you communicate that brand across everywhere? And we'll get into the AI part real soon. Even LinkedIn, where I've written the LinkedIn branding book and have the podcast, because that's a big part of our professional story. And then E, how do we elevate our authority? This is where I bring my PR, because it is so possible, so needed for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, experts to elevate their credibility by third-party recommendations. So we're trusted. And that's when that AI visibility comes into, because you know, I can go on in a minute and tell you how this year I have landed more clients and book calls from AI finding me and referring me. So anyway, these four quick steps, Deb, are exactly the strategic foundation that arms you with, hey, I'm clear and confident and competitively advantaged. I can go out in that room, talk about what I do, ask for funding, partner with this person, pitch the media, land clients, get hired, whatever that is. You have all the ingredients now in this visibility operating system roadmap, if you will.
You know, there's so many things that you said there. One of the things that I love, and I think went ding, ding, ding for a number of people, because I hear that, is a lot of times we're clear to a certain stage. We come in, we know what our passion is. It's inspired. It came to us as we were watching, you know, Eat, Pray, Love, or we were reading a book, or you know, we saw something missing at a restaurant. We're like, if they just had that, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to provide that. So you have that moment, you go into your business, you're super clear. And sometimes I think the unclarity comes later. Like when you're past that initial vision, and then you're like, oh, okay, I want to, like you said, move to the next level, or I want to add add additional on, or I want to make more money, or I want to what have you. And then it can get a little more difficult. I see people getting unclear, not so much in the beginning, but at different stages. It's probably a good indication that growth is coming. But I really love that you recognize that clarity. And if you know those things, just how much better you feel. Like I always say, when you, it's kind of like, you know what? How good does someone feel when they clean out their closet?
Exactly.
That's a form of clarity, right? Nope. Yeah. Nope. Yeah. Ooh, look what I have, right? Or cleaning out a drawer. It's a sense of having authority of you. You've made some great decisions, even if it's just a drawer or a junk drawer in your closet or what have you, to get clear. I think it's a critical piece.
Clarity. Well, that's exactly it. And I've said before, this four-step process really helps you clarify it, simplify it. So you're not like, people need a simple way to take in what you're doing, and then amplify it. We've got to amplify that in so many ways. And such a beautiful time with technology. Yes, it can make things noisy, but it has so many opportunity for us to get in front of the right people. And that's why I think, you know, I've always married personal branding and PR, personal PR together from the get-go, because I saw that was number one way that my clients were getting amplified. You know, it's not just social media, it's PR. Now with this AI visibility, is even more important. So clarify, simplify, amplify, but those four steps and you're golden.
I think people are writing things down. Okay, let's talk a little bit about, because we said we would, when I said this is Michelle B. Griffin, and we're going to talk about why I call her that, because you've mentioned AI a couple of times and visibility. And I don't know if too many people have heard AI visibility, you know, back to back in the same sentence. People, I think, are still really learning a lot about AI's, you know, abilities and how to apply. So what do you mean by that? And what is it about this AI algorithm that we need to pay attention to, and how can we pay attention to it?
Well, when I started my business 5.5 years ago, and I was putting myself out there, getting online a lot more than when I was in my corporate role, I learned fast that there's a lot of Michelle Griffins out there. And that's for us who have common names. We need to differentiate ourselves. So luckily, my maiden name starts with a B, right? And what I do is branding. So every time I say this, it's a great sticking point, a mind anchor. I say, my name is Michelle B. Griffin. The B stands for branding, because that's what I do. But since then, that whole B has taken on a whole new life. Because in the last year, Deb, you know, I have like Calendly, my Tidy Cows, people can book calls with me. And I have, like many of your listeners or viewers, I have some intake questions. And one of them, because I'm a marketer at heart, how did you hear about me, right? Mm-hmm. And I tracked that. And I started earlier this year, ChatGPT, Perplexity, or Claude, they put that in the thing. And then a couple months ago, looking around my website analytics, I saw that Chat and Claude are some of the top referral sources to my site. And not only am I getting calls booked, but I'm landing some of the, you know, these clients from there too. So we've all heard word of mouth, right? And that's still good. I'm not saying that. Now it's AI visibility. And so I have been geeking out for the last several months doing, you know, I've been on AI since the day it started practically. I geeked out the day it started, the week it started. I was like, this is amazing. And I really didn't know how to use it. I mean, I've used it, but now I know why it's strength. It's not for writing content, right? Because that's a commodity. It's how do I make it work for me? So now I'm being found in AI. And I have been geeking out on it. And I'm about to publish a guide, Be the Expert AI Finds, because I have just done all this self research and it's working for me. And I spent a couple of weeks ago, I spent two whole days. I geek out on technology. Normally I would surface this out, but I taught myself how to absolutely fill in even more gaps. So I'm top of mind for these search engines when they ask, who is the best personal branding speaker or coach in XYZ town or for XYZ or whatever? And it's incredible how much faster. And this is free. Right now, this is free. We're not paying Google ads or anything like that. So that has been a phenomenal impact on my business this year, Deb. And so I really want more people to know about how they can do this for themselves at this current time. There are no ads in ChatGPT, yeah. Right? So that's amazing.
That is amazing. You gotta, when you say that, you have to wonder, I mean, it'll change and morph as things do change and morph and all of that. But it's interesting. And I think it's a different angle in terms of ChatGPT or AI, because people use it, like you said, as almost like a commodity. It'll help me with this. It'll help me with titles. It'll help me organize. It'll help me research and data. But I don't think we've flipped it.
And yeah, search is famous.
It's like, oh, so people are looking for what I do.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so AI needs you to be distinguished. Like, I need Michelle B. Griffin to pop versus the Michelle Griffins. And this is where I'm another geek out moment I'm getting, because, you know, since I was 17 years old, I knew that I wanted to major in PR because I love telling people stories. I'd rather be the lighthouse than the spotlight, right? I want to spotlight youth. So when all this put together, when I realized AI is really looking for a lot of third-party validation now in this AI visibility, so it's not just, you know, remember on SEO, traditional SEO's game in the system was keyword searches and backlinks, but they are looking for third-party validation. So it just clicked. My goodness, for the last 45 years, I've always said we must diversify our visibility streams. And I've always added PR into the mix of my personal branding work. And so now it's like, it's the jackpot moment, right? This all makes so much sense for people and is so attainable. And that's what I want to communicate to your listeners. It's so attainable when we do it the right way.
Now, what pops to my head, and I don't know because we haven't had that conversation, because I'm hearing about it same as everybody else is hearing about it right now. You're a couple of weeks ago, geeko for the weekend or what have you. What about for the person? Well, I guess you could just multiply it. I can answer that question. But, you know, there's a lot of people that do many different things, not necessarily in the same field. You know, so the word entrepreneur comes up. But what about when people do many different things? Do they just do what they can find out and call you to find out? Two, do they define themselves in different sectors? So I talk to, and I also do you talk to a lot of coaches, authors, speakers. I mean, every bio that I take for one of our speakers. So for example, if someone is out there and they do many different things, do they have to put themselves into the world of AI under different designations?
Yeah. Well, this also goes back to branding. What do you want to be known for? I mean, even before this AI visibility, when people are searching, they don't search for six things at once. They're searching for one thing. And so this goes back to branding 101. What do you want to be known for, right? What is the top of mind and top choice, top voice thing you want to be? So that's why it's almost like claim that, own that. Let's frame it so that the right people are getting it. And also now search engines, because not only will you have your content and your stuff, but you, and this PR thing, this elevate, you know, my e-stuff, you're going to go on podcasts, you are going to pitch the media, you're going to be in different places with third party and also in social media. So mm-hmm. AI looks across the board to see a uniform, oh, I keep looking at all these credible sources, these credibility markers that tell me Deb is the XYZ for this, or Michelle is the XYZ for this. So it needs that clarity, right? The clarity. We want to clarify, simplify, then amplify it.
Very cool. Okay. You said a term that I said not too many people know, and we've been talking about it. Maybe you've already given this answer. LLM. What does LLM stand for?
Large language models, which is the generative AI, and that's your ChatGPT, which is the market leader. We've got Claude, we've got Microsoft's Copilot, we've got Perplexity, which is more like a search engine, and Gemini by Google. And then Comet is the browser that Perplexity. I mean, there's a lot of AI, but these are the top ones that people are really looking or going to, the top contenders. And so those are the ones that I believe there's like 400 million searches a week alone on ChatGPT. So that gives you some indication how crazy this is that people are searching. Here's another way, off-brand, like not work. I'll find something. I'll instead of going to YouTube, this is just me, the way I can. Instead of going to YouTube, I'll take a picture and say, my dishwasher's broken or whatever, and here's this. What is going on here? And it tells me how to fix it. Or I was having a problem with my email marketing, and I don't feel like taking the time to research or call someone. I'll just ask ChatGPT. I take a picture or screenshot, and it's like, wow, that was great. Saved me so much time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting, right? It'll be, I think it's going to take not a lot of trial and error, but I think it's going to take time to digest and apply and reapply. And it's quite
fun. You know, as great as I love it for AI, I'm a big believer that we can't let it lose our humanity. I'm a big believer powered by human connection. So I kind of play two roles. I think it's great for that, but I'm a big believer in the in-person and really building your brand with PR and in-person events. We cannot lose that critical thinking and that human connection from AI. So I'm one of these weird people that, you know, I think it's great, but it's not the end all be all with everything.
I think it's important to say that. I had a conversation. So as you may know, my son has a clothing company, and we were talking to a photographer that we use when we go to the Emmys and Oscars. He's our photo guy, and he does all our shots. And we were talking about, obviously, his industry is also affected by AI. And what does that look like? And he's like, it's a creative variable, you know, there's the writing of your own book.
Yeah.
Versus the producing of a AI generated book. I mean, here nor there, I'm not standing in one corner. We were talking about it, and I said, it's really interesting because it's obviously a concern in certain areas and certain sectors for sure. And that's fair. And it's like the relationship, how can you play the relationship between the two, where maybe you take some pictures of some clothing and you use AI to put that clothing or those shoes or that book or that your book at the top of the New York State Building, like things that, you know, that are really super cool and attractive from a visibility standpoint. But he goes, in a photo shoot, I go, you don't even need to tell me. Because when you're at a photo shoot, you know, you've been in photo shoots, the light's there, the camera's there, the attention, the energy. I said, I personally, the pictures that I love the best from a photo shoot is taking a picture of the photographer taking a picture. Okay. Like those, the culture of it, the experience of it, like there's 10 of us there, we're shooting, we're this, we're tired. We're shoving peanut butter in our face behind the banner because we're hungry. Well, there's no, like I said, the table with all the earrings when you're changing your outfits. There's something really incredible that happens in that creative space. And I think he's like, what I'm hoping is that that relationship will work itself out, you know, that relationship of digital to personal.
I don't want to see, I agree. I'm a proponent. I love creativity in the arts. I don't want to see AI generated models. I don't want to see AI generated actors. I know there's some thing I'm talking and Hollywood scared. I don't want to see it. I want people, right? Mm-hmm. AI is great to a certain degree, but let's not take it away. Why are we in here as humans if AI is going to take over everything, right? I just use it as an assistant to help me get to my business goals, but it should never replace our person and their gifts that they bring to the world.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, look, before we kind of wrap up, because we've dropped a few interesting pieces of information here today, and you've authored, you've worked with PR, you've worked with brand, you worked with visibility. Let's touch on PR a little bit, because that's interesting. Sometimes people think that PR does or doesn't have a relationship with branding. And I'll say it for a reason, like, oh, my PR agent does my press release.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you find the relationship, like, between branding and PR? Yes, you go hire a PR agent. We did the same thing for, you know, we did a recent event. We hired a PR agent. The relationship between PR and your brand. He talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and also, too, let's talk about the relationship when people say they want PR, like, right away. And it's like, you can get it. But let's go back to that foundation. Your PR person should be, you know, getting all the right messaging, the position, like how are you going to angle your stories and this and that to coincide with the areas and the outlets you're going to pitch. So your brand is the nucleus. It's the DNA. It's the heart of how you present, you communicate viscerally, verbally, and all, you know, and visually. And so those components need to be set. And that's why I have my framework, Own Your Lane framework. When you got that set, and that's why I have PR, the fourth step, because they've got everything. It makes PR easier. You can just hand them. That's what I do. And our clients are like, here's your Own Your Lane roadmap. Take it. Go to a PR agency or do it yourself or whatever. And it makes everybody's, all your providers who help you, it makes their job done and easy so they can go execute on what they do best. So get your brand set, get your foundation, and then you should have no problem angling the story to get it, you know, landed in the premier press that you are wanting to be, and it's the right fit.
Thank you for talking about that, because many people have heard PR, don't know the expansion, and don't realize that that's actually, it's a pretty important relationship. I mean, I think if it's the right relationship, you know, if you find someone that really is in your sector, maybe knows a lot of people in certain areas that, and before we kind of sign off, can you talk to people about at least having maybe some kind of brand kit? Like, what is it when people say, what's a brand kit? It's like, well, it could be, you know, I know what a brand kit is. You certainly make brand kits all day, I'm sure. So I'm going to throw that question over to you. But it takes away having to sit there and explain yourself to people over and over. They're like, what's your colors? And like, oh my gosh, I don't know. What are my colors? You know?
Well, it just makes it'll make your PR persons easier so they know the right outlet to pitch and the right story angles so that, you know, PR is telling the story and we are here to make their life better. You know, the media, so that they have everything they need. And we get, you know, they get it. And it's the right fit for their readers, their listeners, or viewers. Have a brand kit the way I do it. Yeah, we have all the pretty stuff. Everyone's like, what's my colors? Okay, that's great. That's one side of it. What's your message? What's your positioning? So I have the messaging, the positioning, the PR angles, the topics we talk about, the bio, the credibility markers, you know. So you look like, wow, this person's got it all together. It's like, here's my identity on so many levels, you know, visually, I can't talk today, visually, verbally, and this story. So it's everything. So it's not just the pretty stuff. It's the stuff that we need to get put in the media and the interesting takes, the point of view that makes for an interesting press story or media feature or, you know, landing on a podcast or whatever that would be for you.
Yeah. And I think that's where you talk about some of the differentiators, right? Like, what makes you different to this person, to this person? On Mission Accepted, we talk a lot about how people get a mission, they decide, they go on, they get in, they do a business, they do a project, they start a nonprofit, they, you know, go decide that they want to get an Emmy or an Oscar or a Grammy or a rock and roll, right? But there's some bumps along the way. What would you say for you? Has there ever been a time where your back's been against the wall, you had to make a decision to go left or go right? Like, what's made you stay in this? And, you know, I don't call it a journey anymore. You know, people go, oh, it's been such an interesting journey. I'm like, no, anything past 5 years and you're into the stretch. This is the stretch to significance. Because people listen to our podcast to kind of hear, like, how do they do it? How did they get over it? Like, am I the only person that entrepreneurship wasn't really, like, you know, it didn't come, you know, as easy as they thought, or they thought the decision to be an entrepreneur was the hard thing, or like staying is the hard thing, or the interesting thing, should we say, for anyone who's new out there thinking about whether they want to join the crew?
Well, I thank you for asking that, because that's a question that everyone asks, you know, and I love how you're transparent. I've wanted to be an entrepreneur since I was in grad school. I surfaced 10 years ago, and then it took me 5 long years to get out because I second-guessed myself. I became a content addict. Yes, that's a thing. I consumed so much because I was truly scared to put myself out there. That's why you'll see behind me, put yourself out there. That's why I did a 10X talk 6 months ago in my alma mater, FSU, how to overcome the judgment monster and boldly put yourself out there. Because while I'm confident on paper and all that, truly, when push comes to shove, for all the entrepreneurs, solopreneurs out there, you want to make a huge impact in the world, but dang, that judgment monster will get the best of you, right? Or you start comparing yourself to others and you just self-implode. That's why I have put yourself out there. That's why I had my 4 steps. And I finally got out the gate. I finally did. And, you know, it was great. And there were some ups and downs, but that judgment monster came back kind of mid-tier. And And I think that's for everyone. You're ready to go to a different level, or if you accomplish something and you want to go higher, that's when it comes in. So I would say just remember that professional purpose. Just remember, as I said in my TEDx talk, we all have a gift, a business idea, a project that needs to be out there that someone needs to hear. And the flip that I gave, my TEDx not out yet. Sunday it will be. It was take the focus off of self and put it to service. And that's what gets you in there. That's what keeps you in the game. Because I think the biggest thing is not staying consistent on your purpose and not staying in the game. And then we make wrong decisions, wrong terms, you know, bad economic decisions, whatever. But the business stuff is tactical stuff, can all be figured out. It's the inside game that's truly the hardest.
Touche. And I think that for so many people, it is easier to do something for others, right? Particularly when like, you know, we call them the goblins. When they're going off, when they're talking loud, sometimes it's easier to dismiss that, knowing you're going forward for someone else. Because if not, then you can get into this bout, I'm worthy. You know, you've got, so for those of you that are just not watching, but they're listening, I got, you know, I'm talking about the goblins of my hand going high, but the goblin can sit on your shoulder or can sit in your head, or it can talk back to you into the mirror, or you could be in the shower. I remember the morning that we were announcing that we had a television channel, and I'm fine. We announced it at an Oscars party. That's fine. Got brought up on stage, blah, 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 super nervous, said my piece, got my award and walked off the stage. Okay, cool. But it wasn't then. And that you think it would have been then, but instead I'm in the shower, I'm getting ready, and we're going to do the big announcement online, right? We're going to announce this. And all of a sudden I'm in the shower and I hear out of nowhere, well, why would you start a television channel anyways? Who would start a television channel? Yes. That's ridiculous. Yes. How did it go this far? And I was like, oh, look at you. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at you. And I'm pretty good at this game. I can, you know, I've gone a few places. I'm like, now look at you, right? And I was like, Deb, you know what to do. Step out of yourself. I kind of tell it to piss off a little bit in larger languages. And I was like, but it was so, I'm like, the morning of, I'm getting ready and it's right there. I was completely fine till that moment. And I was like, and I actually went down the road a little bit. I mean, I'll become transparent. I was like, yeah. I said to myself, yeah. Why did I start a television channel? What was I thinking? Why do I keep doing these ridiculous things? What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? I went down the road a little bit and I was like, oh, that's what this is. it's a goal.
It's powerful. But you're more powerful. We are more powerful than that stupid little voice. So as I said, as I close my TEDx, so the next time the judgment monster will come for you, and he will, which is usually when you're going to something bigger and better. I said, not today. Mm-hmm. I'm putting myself out there for somebody else. So why not now? And why not you? So you just say, not today. Get off. Goodbye. You did. Not today. I'm putting myself out there for someone else. And that's how I knew it. Because here's the thing. It's like going to the gym when you said in that other episode, I will never let someone down. I'll let myself down. But when I know someone else is depending on me for something, mm-hmm. I will not let that person down. So that's how I have to think about, you know, so not today. I can't let these people down or whoever it is I'm here to help. So when we reset that, it keeps us in the game as entrepreneurs. We're going to get stronger. We're going to get bigger. We're going to grow. And again, it happens to the best of us. Look, it happened to Deb. There's so many. I don't care if you're CEO, the most accomplished people in the world. We all have it by human default, right? Yeah. Or design. So
Before we wrap up, my friend, I have a couple of questions. So the moment, like one of the coolest things that has happened to you by being an entrepreneur, like, what's one of the coolest things that's happened to you? Either being an entrepreneur or being in your field as an entrepreneur? Cool. Like, what?
I think it's the people I've met. I joked on another podcast recently, one of my hobbies is connecting with people. I love them. So the people I think I've met just especially in the first year when we all had, I started my business before COVID. It just happened right after. So like many of us, we get online, get on LinkedIn, and I met people from around the world. You know, I met my co-author of the LinkedIn branding book and co-host of the show on a comment. And she lives in Sydney, Australia, right? Anyway, the flash forward 3 years, we finally met in New Orleans. She came, I was at an event, she was at an event, and we met in person. And it just reminded me the power of human connection, you know, and I thought, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I'm sitting at my boring corporate job desk. Who would have thought the possibilities? I have clients all over the world. I've traveled, I've spoken, and I meet incredible people and hear their stories. And that, to me, the human connection part, I think, has been the most incredible gift of them all. So that's what I'd say.
Yeah. And I think that that's very solid. I think it's the surprise and knowing there's cool people out there. But man, does it ever open your eyes? Like it's almost like someone's not traveled and then they go travel. The world of entrepreneurship and who meets and the handshake and the this is really vast. All right. I'm going to completely change gears. And all of your information is going to be in the show notes. Your book, who you are, how to get a hold of you, clearly your socials, but you're on your way. And you've probably heard me say this before. So I want to ask a question that completely is a little different. So you're on your way to a desert island. You got a suitcase. You got room in that suitcase for one album. I truly believe music is such a powerful connector, and it just really is like, I believe that, you know, music's a master healer. So you're on this desert island. There's a record player waiting for you and you have electricity. What album would you take? If you can imagine not listening to this for the rest of your days, you're like, I'm going on this trip. Oh my gosh, I don't know when I'm coming back. If I'm coming back, maybe this is my new place. What would you take?
Okay, I'm going to invent an album because it's the greatest hits of the 80s because I love 80s music. And here's why. Because it's a lot to do with my brand. You see, a lot of my brand's yellow and pink because music makes me happy. It gets me out of my funk. It makes me exercise. It makes me think of new things. So I would say a fictitious 80s, or there probably is the greatest hits of the 80s album or something.
Oh, I'm
right?
Sure.
Yeah. So I can't pick one. Because they're all just like humans. We're all collectively so good together. But the genre of 80s music is definitely an uplifter and make me happy. So, and hopefully get the heck off that island with it too.
Okay, so I'm gonna take you one little step further because we've never let a guest so far off the hook with the greatest hits or a collection one.
Okay,
so we're going to push it a little bit. We're going to we're going to brand it. This song is going to be part of your brand. So if you had to take it to one, what would it be?
An album or a song, you mean?
Well, you can have an album if you want, or you can have a song, whichever one you want. Like for me, you know, Janis Joplin, Pearl is the album. And so if you want to go bigger, you can go album. And if there's a song that you just can't imagine living without, that's okay too.
Okay, so you got me there because let me tell you, I'm working on this. I'm the worst decision maker on things like this, you know, and some things are easy. So I would say, let's say that it would be maybe Elton John had a song. Oh my gosh, I just blanked out on it. What was that song?
It's a melody. Kiki D?
No, it's I'm Still Standing.
Oh, that is good.
Yes, I'm still standing because I may be knocked down. Yeah, I may have the judgment monster may knock me down one day, but I'm like, I'm still standing. If you listen to those lyrics, it's such a fun, upbeat song of his. And it is in the 80s. And it's got a fun video of him at the beach. It's just motivational. I think that's the thing. 80s songs are like motivational keynote speakers for the most part.
Absolutely.
And so that one keeps me going and it's got a good beat. So there you go. Specifics.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, and he is, if you look at someone that, I mean, Elton John is still standing. I mean, look at that man's story. Look at his music. Some of the deep stuff that he's done in music with some incredible people that have been studio musicians that people would never know their name. That he's changed their lives. And he's incredible. And he went up against it, right? You know, like he had to make his way in terms of, and you want to talk about someone who carved out a brand. Like,
yeah.
Holy freaking cow. There is no, there's no identity crisis to that man.
It's great. And his movie, if you haven't seen that movie that came out maybe 5-6 years ago, the Elton John doc, oh, it's so good. So it shows his whole early life, just struggles, and it's really good. So I'd highly recommend that. But yeah, I'm still standing. And that's where I plan to be, you know, as long as I'm here on this earth doing the work that I love, just like your listeners and viewers, we want to wish them, I'm still standing, you know, get that mindset, get those 4 steps so you can absolutely keep standing and keep going and keep growing to where you need to be for those you're here to serve.
Awesome. Well, there's lots of people writing a lot of notes right now. And I love it because that's what we hear. People are like, they've heard it and then they watch it again. And we're the paper and pen podcast for sure. Maybe we'll do some branding around that in 2026.
I love that paper and pen. And as much as I love AI, we've got to write. When I teach my workshops, I always say, I give them the workbook, write it out, paper and pen. That's how we retain. So yeah, love that for you, Deb. Good stuff.
There you go. Well, look at everybody. We are so excited that you were here today. We learned so much more. And that's absolutely what I love, is to bring people on that are going to inspire you and motivate you and make you change and make you think a little different and help you brave up. I mean, really, when you take on a mission, when you think about someone taking on a mission, I think bravery is a major component to that. So thank you for being with us today. Do what you do. I know that you share. I know that you talk. I know that you comment them. And look it, if you think that you want to be on the show, this is not difficult. I mean, you literally go to devdrummond.com. You go to the media page, whether you want to be on the show, whether you want to be on the stages. We've got, 220 spots that you can come and speak on a stage at any given time during any year. So if you want to brave up a little, you want to brave up a lot, you want to take over the world, we're here for you. We want to hear your story. So just, reach out and we'll do what we do. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being with us today. I really appreciate that. I know that you have an abundant schedule as well, and you have lots on the go and lots in play. Thank you for sharing, because it's so important. There's so many people out there that are doing things that need to be heard, and in many different ways, because that's just the world we're playing in now, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an amazing conversation. You're such a wonderful host, and we could talk all day, but I think we hit it really well today. Appreciate it.
No worries. I can't wait for us to meet in person. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. And as always, until we meet again, you be well and you stay groovy. Bye for now.